My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Internet-enabled swindlers are coming off a banner year. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The number of cybercrimes reported to the FBI is spiking. The feds calculate people lost nearly $13 billion last year, up 20% in a year. And while corporate ransomware attacks like the recent one on UnitedHealth get so much attention, the vast majority of cybercrime is simpler. Marketplace's Nova Safo has some details.
The FBI says investment fraud schemes, often involving cryptocurrencies and targeting 30 to 49-year-olds, make up the largest portion of reported financial losses, nearly $5 billion last year. Meanwhile, the elderly are often targeted by tech support scams, and businesses tend to most often fall victim to email compromises in which criminals use internal accounts to transfer funds. The FBI says organizations categorized as critical infrastructure have seen a lot of ransomware attacks in sectors such as healthcare, emergency services, and water systems. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The U.S. House of Representatives yesterday passed a $460 billion spending bill to fund about half the federal government through September 30th, the end of the accounting year. The Senate is expected to consider this before the deadline of midnight tomorrow. Lawmakers are still negotiating a second batch to fund the other part of the government, which Congress has to pass by March 22nd. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
For Econ Extra Credit this month, we're watching the Oscar-nominated documentary Shorts. A lot of good ones. We'll see which film gets the Academy Award on Sunday. Here today, we're focusing on one of the docs full of Marketplace themes. It's called The Barber of Little Rock, directed by John Hoffman and Christine Turner. It follows Arlo Washington on his quest to fight economic inequality in Arkansas in multiple ways. Washington is co-founder of a barber school, and he's also the founder of a nonprofit loan fund for people in Little Rock, often shunned by the traditional banking system.
Investments in resources that are meant to get to these communities haven't gotten to them.
There has to be economic warriors in the community to create economic justice.
Arlo Washington, star of The Barber of Little Rock, joins us now. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with one of your ventures, Washington Barber College. Give me a sense of the real mission there. It's not just to teach people how to cut hair.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's to develop world-class professionals. Washington Barber College is a barber school that gives people an opportunity to get into a trade, get into a profession that will pay you and help you to be able to serve your community in a very significant way.
And if the goal is conveying skills for cutting hair, your other work seems a leap, community-based lending. But if the goal is just what you say, giving people a skill that they can build on, which by implication I think is promoting social justice and helping a community achieve financial security, then your dual projects really do overlap, don't they?
It all integrates. If you can have a trade and a skill that's essential and needed, and you also have access to an opportunity, then you're able to create a sustainable, profitable, and scalable business for yourself as an entrepreneur.
There are many moments in this, not very long film, it's about a half an hour, where you really sit forward. The film really draws you in. And one moment is this, when a person is discussing some of the obstacles that Black Americans can face when seeking a loan.
Sadly, banking while Black is a real thing. They don't necessarily train you to know that, but once you get in there and you actually see that the person coming in, if they're white, they're going to offer them credit cards, they're going to offer them loans, financing, you know, all of those. But you come in, you're Black, there's no services offered.
And Mr. Washington, you didn't need your customers to explain this to you. This is something that you experienced the hard way, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lived experience for me, you know, starting my first barbershop when I was 20 years old and experiencing generational poverty and not having a bank in my neighborhood or community that I had a relationship with. Now, if we had a people trust around, I would have had an opportunity to be able to at least get onboarded into a financial institution that understood generational poverty and had a mission of serving a community.
So people trust has a problem to solve. How do you solve it? I mean, it's not like I'm going to trust anyone and everyone who walks in your door. You must have a more layered, a more sophisticated decision tree about whom you lend to and whom you don't.
Absolutely. We look at the ability to repay, and we give everybody an A until they give themselves an F. And what I mean by that is we're taking a holistic approach to community development finance. For example, there was a young man came into our office and he was unbanked. He was 25 years old. And, you know, I had to talk to him and let him know that being unbanked is, you know, it costs you more to be unbanked than it does to be banked. You can't track your spending and create budgets. But I asked him before that, you know, why he felt the way he did. And he just said that he had lost trust in the traditional banks. And so after that conversation, he ended up opening a checking account and saying, you know what, I'm going to give you another chance. So now we have a responsibility to build on that relationship and establish trust.
Arlo Washington, Washington Barber College and People Trust in Little Rock, Arkansas. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, David. Take care.
The director's cut of my conversation with Arlo Washington is headed online, marketplace.org. For those of you who are already subscribed to our Econ Extra Credit newsletter, well, you got a sneak peek of that earlier this week. You can sign up free, marketplace.org/EconExtraCredit. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.